chapter 14, please. And you're getting this and fresh off the presses because I got it while I was sitting there. Well, I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning for some reason. And maybe I just laid there and prayed, and I said, God, what do you want? You know, what are you doing? And all this kind of stuff. And my biggest thing is embarrassing the Lord. I'm not the greatest speaker. I'm not the greatest reader. I'm not the greatest anything. But that's one thing I never wanted to do is embarrass God. And I think that's my greatest fear when I stand before people. Now, he was a school teacher, so I didn't know that until just a few minutes ago. And when I was in school, I'd take a F before I'd get up in front of anybody and talk. I mean, I know when I was in probably the 10th grade, we supposed to have done a history thing, and we had to do the Constitution or something like that, and we had to stand up in front of our class and say it all and all that, and I said, nah. So she was going to give me an F in that class. So I said, I thought two or three days of thinking about that, I'd back down, but I didn't. So she finally let me get beside her desk and do it. So I know Wednesday night, a lot of the people that was here, I mean, I know maybe y'all thought, golly, that's the shortest sermon or service I've ever been in. Well, that's the shortest I've ever talked either. And I mean, but the thing was, that's all I had. And when he quits talking to me, then I quit talking to y'all. So if you have your Bible, Exodus chapter 14. This is probably real familiar to most people, but I'm just going to read maybe just one verse and go through a few more verses as we read. And it's in verse 13, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which ye shall shew to you today. For these Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Father, we just want to thank you for your time. We want to thank you for all you've given us, each blessings you give us each day, God. We bless you that you have just touched each one here. Give us the energy and the strength to come before you today, to come to your house, to worship you in song. God, we thank you for everything you've done. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, as we see this right here, if you read over in chapter 14 a little bit more, we kind of had a little murmuring, a little griping, a little... Nothing's worked out like we thought it was going to be this morning, and maybe God's got a reason for all that. And you know, somebody said, "Well, you're supposed to be in the end season, out of season to preach." Or, well, that's also when because you don't know when you might be somewhere in a situation. Come up to you and say, "Hey, can you tell me about the Lord? Can you do anything for me?" Well, and so you need to be instant in season, out of season, just like a preacher is. But in this verse, this has been my life verse ever since I've been saved, because of all the things that's went through in my lifetime, I've had to have somebody to stand with me. Now, my dad passed away almost 2 years now. But the thing about it is, I could always go to him and talk to him about things, but there was lots and lots of things my dad could never help me with. The only thing, like my marriage, my kids, my finances, when I buy a car, when I buy a house and things like that, I talk to my dad. But when the main thing come down, I had to talk to the Lord about it. And that's what I want you to see in these verses right here. It says, here's these probably hundreds of Egyptians is fixing. I mean, they're standing at the Red Sea. There's nowhere for them to hide. There's nowhere for them to go. And if you go into verse 12 there, and 11 there, they're standing up there murmuring, saying, "Hey, why don't we should have stayed in Egypt and just worshiped there?" Well, for 400 years they've been complaining about trying to get out of that place. Well, now here they are standing at the gates right here, standing here at the Red Sea, and then these Egyptians come in, and they're thinking, "Well, we should just serve the Egyptians and not die out here in the wilderness." Well, the thing about it is, if them Egyptians come there, they didn't come there to say, "Hey, we're going to drag you back." They come there to kill them. They didn't come there to say, "Hey, you know, let's patch up, let's mend up, and you come back and you can be our slaves for another 400 years. They wasn't going to do that. They was going to slaughter every one of them. And the thing is you see all these things, these people murmuring and griping and complaining. We've seen that this morning. You don't need to murmur or gripe or complain about what God's doing right now, because God's got a reason for every bit of it. Now, what it is, we don't know. I don't know why. I mean, you'd be in my stomach right now, and you'd know what nervous is all about. I mean, you'd be feared when he come over and he said, "Man, do you got a word from the Lord?" Well, I mean, you get to doing some confessing and saying, "God, you know what you got going on?" Because I've had to get down there and say, "God, what's this all about?" Because I don't even know either. But in these people, as they was complaining and murmuring and griping and all this kind of stuff, think they're going to get killed. Moses finally just stood up and just said, "Listen, stand still and see the salvation of God. No matter what financial situation you're going through, or what kind of marriage thing you're going through right now, or what one of your kids has went off in astray or something, you don't know why they're like that right now, but God's got a reason for all this to happen right now. And I mean, there's nothing in my life that's happened to me in my life that God wasn't in control of. I didn't know what was really going on, but he all know what was going on." And as Moses was trying to stand and tell these people, he was trying to encourage them, saying, "Listen, stand still and see the salvation of God. Watch what God can do." You know, we think God's this little old bitty thing. No, he's the one that created the world. He's the one that created all of us. He's the one that put all the stars in the sky. He's the one that made the oceans. He's the one that puts the sand on the seashore. He's the one that done everything that they are. He's the one that's letting you breathe right now. You know, somebody told me one time, God breathed, when we was born, God breathed into our nostrils and we become a living soul when we was born. And when we leave this walk of life and go to live with him, we give that breath back, because that's the last breath you give is the one you're going to give back to him right before you go. So there's nothing in your life as a teenager till you grow up. We had a roof put on our house yesterday, and there's a bunch of young guys there doing that and all that. And I was trying to tell them, I said, "Boys, when I was y'all's age, I wish I was, because they'd crawl around on that roof like little ants. And here I was just barely getting up a ladder. I was trying to carry them shingles up there." But the thing about it, boy, them little boys, I says, "One of these days you'll be like me." Now, several years ago, I was like y'all. I could run like a deer. And we lived in Trenton, Georgia, in Cloudland Canyon State Park. Me and this guy, when we played football, we could run down to the bottom and run all the way back up. Now, you couldn't get me up about five steps, and I'd be out. But, you know, as we see Moses, there's got to be people in your life. Now, there was a church I went to in Dalton, and there was a guy down there. He had prostate cancer. He had some heart problems. But that was the most encouraging person I ever been around in my life. Even everything that he was going through, he'd come in, he said, "How you doing, James?" Or, "How you doing, Bob? How you doing, sisters?" This. And, you know, I mean, he was the most encouraging person I ever been around. And that's what Moses was trying to do, is encourage these people. Said, "Listen, we're not serving a weak God. We're not serving an image like they did in Egypt. We're not serving all them people, all them dead gods that's never going to do anything." I mean, they tried that with Baal over there, and you know, that prophet went over there and laughed at them. They cut themselves. They done this and done all these different things, trying to get their gods to burn the sacrifice, and couldn't do a thing. Well, the prophet, he went over there and he poured water all over his and done all kinds of things, and God went down there and the fire came down and licked up all the water, licked up all the sacrifice, licked everything up, and killed up 400 prophets of Baal on that day. So we ain't serving a little bitty tiny God. We're serving a big, big God. And no matter what it is that's in our life, God can take care of it. As Moses was going on down through here, he told them, he said, "You know, we go through life and we think, you know, that what the prophet said, once I was old, but I was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." If you're in your 20s, 17, 18 years old, you think, boy, you got the tiger by the tail. When you get up in your 50s and your 60s and your 70s and 80s, then you think, well, I asked my dad one time, I says, can you do the things you used to do when you was young? He said, well, in my mind I can. and I know what he's talking about now. In my mind I can still crawl around on that roof and do the things that them young guys did, but now I can't. I can't do it. But as we're going down through here, it says, verse 14, it says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And that's what we should have done earlier. Didn't getting upset about Ronnie not being here, not worrying about anything else. Worry about what, just say, God, what do you want done today? What do you want me to do? That's what we got to do, because I could have told that guy, I said, nah, man, you're on your own. Y'all do whatever y'all want to do. But that ain't what God wants me to do. Now, if I'd have done that, maybe God might have struck me down with lightning, but God's called me to preach. Now, I ain't the best one. I ain't the prettiest one. Well, I'm a little better looking than, you know, them others, but, you know. But, amen. There you go, brother. You know, maybe when I was 5 or 6, you know. I was a pretty little boy. But the Lord shall fight for us. And he said, hey, for us to hold our peace. Let God do whatever it is in our life. I know that's our biggest problem a lot of times. We want to try to get ahead of God. And that's where we mess up. And I'm going to give you an answer. I know a lot of the people on Wednesday night, they've heard my testimony. A lot of y'all ain't never heard my testimony, so I'm going to give it real quick.
Amen.
So that lets you understand where I come from. When I was 19 years old, I had an uncle got killed in a Jeep wreck. He was 32 years old. I was 17 years old, 18 years old. And, you know, I went to the funeral and went to all that. I was sad for my aunt and all that. And, you know, I said, throw him in the ditch and let's get it over with. Well, then about a week or so later, my best friend, he had leukemia. He was 17. He got leukemia, and he was dying. And at his house, he was telling his dad, he says, Daddy, he said, the angels has come to get me, and I got to go. And he just laid down. That was it. Well, his daddy told my daddy, and my daddy told me. Well, the thing about it is, I played ball from the first grade. I mean, we was in the first grade all the way through high school together. And now here he is going. And he always went to church and was a good person, and I was totally opposite of him. If you want to talk about drugs, if you want to talk about drinking, you want to talk about stealing, you want to talk about going out with other people's girlfriend, you want to talk about doing all these other things, I was that little boy. I'm glad my mom ain't here to hear all that. And there's a lot of things I ain't even going to tell you about. But that was the only time in my life that I cried. Because I was taught you had to be tough and mean as a boy. You know, I broke my fingers playing football, broke some other things when I played football. I wouldn't cry. They'd just take me to the sidelines, take me to the hospital and pop them back place, put a cast on, go on about my business. But when Mark was dying, that tore me up. Because I got to thinking about, you know, you could go anytime at any age then. I was thinking about it then. So then about a week later after that, Mr. Bethune, his wife passed away, and she had a heart attack going to the dime store. And she was a good Christian lady, died right there on the sidewalk. So I go to the funeral, and I'm sitting on about middle of the church, back there towards the back a little bit, hanging on the thing. Well, the preacher, these boys, her boys, were bootleggers, mean. And we got a testimony back there that could testify to these boys, because they was rough. They was mean. They would fight you. They would cut you. They would shoot you. They didn't care. They was really rough boys. But that preacher got up there, and he had that lady laid out up there. Mr. Bethune was laying out there, and all them boys were laying over there, and there's all beard, rough, probably never been in a church. And he told him, he said, boys, y'all get a good look at your mama and look at her really good, because she's made her way to heaven. He said, but all y'all going to go burn in hell. So he said, you better get a good look, because you'll never see your mama again. And when they done that, them big old hairy boys, big old thought they're tough and bad and shot people and cut people, they was a squalling like panthers then, because they loved their mama. Now, You can talk about my daddy, you can talk probably about my little kid, but you talk about my mama now, we're fixing to get in, somebody's fixing to get in trouble. One of us is going to get a whipping. And that touched home with them boys. And so they was come up after the altar and started praying, I want to meet you over on the other side, Mama. I want to see you again, and I want to be with you again, Mama. And the thing, they started crying and all that. The room in that building, and I don't know how to describe it, got to going in and out. It was like, whoosh, whoosh. There's a big old guy, about 300 pounds, started walking on top of the benches. I don't know how he done it. Still don't know how he done it, but God was all in that room. And it scared my mom and daddy so bad, they run and grabbed the grandbaby and run outside and got in the car. That's how powerful God was in that room. And then after that, I was hanging on there, and I'm thinking, God, I was drunk the last night. I was drunk the night before that. I'd done this the day before that. I mean, I was one of them people I'd spend my whole paycheck on drugs or drinking. And my mom and them would have to give me money to get back and forth to work every week. I had a good mom and daddy. But the only thing is, my mom and daddy never prayed for me because they wasn't saved. But they was a good mom and daddy. Well, let me not get on that rabbit right quick. So that was all going on. So they rolled that lady to the side of the church where I was at, Miss Bethune. And when they rolled her over, it was like she was looking at me. And I was terrified by then. And I said, God, I got to get out of here. So when they rolled her over, now, I don't know God's ever spoke to you, and I don't know if it was in my mind or whatever. It came to me and says, James, if you was in that box, where would you be? Just like that. I run to the edge of the thing, and I could have went out of the church, or I could have come forward. And my brother was just coming back from the altar, my oldest brother coming back from the altar, and I said, Terry, I got to get saved, but I don't know what to do. Now, it took me a while. I mean, a lot of y'all might not have done some of the dumb things I did as growing up, but I got over beside that altar, and I said, God, forgive me for stealing, forgive me for drinking, forgive me for doing all these things. And it felt like that building was sitting on my shoulders. But when I said, God, please come in my heart and forgive me, it like that building left me. I mean, when I went outside, the grass looked different. The sky looked different. Everything looked different. I didn't go to AA. I didn't have to go do nothing like that, brother. I mean, God done everything for me on that one trip. So, I mean, you know, you don't know why God's got us in this situation this morning. But he's got a situation just like he had the day I got saved. I just went out of respect. But God had a different reason. And as you see what Moses was trying to do, telling us to stand still, listen to God, and let him do the rest. Because he says, now he gets on down in here. He said, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speakest to the children of Israel that they go forward, not backwards, forward. But lift thou up the rod and stretch it out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, I mean, I've been watching the Discovery Channel since it's probably come out, and they tried to say, well, it was just knee-deep. I said, well, if it was just knee-deep where they went across, he sure did drown a lot of people out there in that little knee-deep water. I mean, you're talking about horses, big men, and all this kind of stuff. But God I don't think it was knee-deep water. I think it was a wall of water, probably bigger than this building, that they went across. But now, what he was saying, he says, these Egyptians you see, you'll see them again no more. And one of these days, the devil and his demons and all them, we'll never see them again no more. And that's something that we got looked forward to. I mean, we got heartaches and things, health problems and all these things in our bodies. But one of these things, all that's going to vanish and go away. And I got one more verse that I want to read. And you say, boy, you don't preach long. Well, it's like I told somebody else. When he gets done, I'm done. Because I sure can't think about it. If you go to Romans chapter Chapter 8, verse 35. Romans 8, 35. Now, there's a lot of things that can separate me and my family, but nothing in this life can separate me from God. My kids, when they was little, moved to Chicago and lived there till they graduated high school. And that was the hardest thing for me to go through, is that separation of my kids being gone. But if we read this right here, nothing is going to separate us from God. And it says, in verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, death, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, shall nakedness, shall peril or sword? Even if we're dead, you're not going to be separated, because there ain't but two places to go, heaven or hell. And then when you're in hell, you're going to know all about him, because what's the Bible talk about the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man could see Lazarus afar off. And he wanted Lazarus to what? Dip. Just give him one drop of water. And then God says, no, there's a great gulf between us, and we can't do that. He said, well, go tell my five brothers. Get somebody to go tell my five brothers. Well, the thing that they'll have the same chance that he had. And if they accept the Lord, they can go to heaven. Or if they don't, they're going to be with their brother where he's at.
Amen.
In verse 36, it says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, for we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, us in the United States, we don't think about that a lot about being persecuted. We think we are, and teenagers says, well, they have a hard time. They ain't no different. When I grew up in the 60s, baby, when I was growing up, pot, drinking, free love, riots in the streets, Vietnam was going on, and people was rioting the streets, knocking out windows, shooting people all over this, the Black Panthers, all them dudes. I mean, we got to throw women there too. Some of y'all young people think it's hard. Y'all got it made to what we went through. But everybody thinks that they go through such a hard thing. What you got to think about, people and parents, is how we bringing them up, how we was taught. Like I said, I had a good mom and daddy. But the thing about it, my mom and daddy never took me to church. My mom and daddy never... Now, my daddy would wear your hind end out. But the thing about it is, the one thing that he didn't do was take me to church. So, but I did get to see my mom and daddy both get saved.
Amen.
So that's the good thing about it is. And it said right here, it says, for it is written, for y'all's sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, if you went to some of these foreign countries that they've been talking about on the radio a lot, I mean, you'd get slaughtered. They're asking, on Moody, they're asking for people to donate money for Bibles for these different countries. That they said if they had one Bible in that village, and if I give it to you, it'd take a month for me to get it back, time it circulated, just one Bible. And, I mean, we don't know what persecution is. We got it made in the United States. But, you know, that's just because God has put his hand on us. Okay, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're conquerors. Now, I ain't preaching, how do you say that word? There you go. Gospel. God will prosper some people, and there's some of us are just going to be poor as Tom Turkey. There ain't no way about it. That's just the way we are. We're going to be farmers, we're going to be roofers, we're going to be plumbers, we're going to dig ditches, we're going to cut trees, we're going to dig stumps. Ain't that right, baby? We're going to do them things, and that's what God's got us to do. But wherever we're at, wherever God got us work, I don't know, a lot of people knows where I work. I work for the city of Chattanooga at Moss Men Treatment Plant. You know what I'm around every day? Poopy. Every day. You know what it smells like? Poopy. You know, but God's got me there for a reason. And the reason he's got me there is to talk to some people about their God.
Amen.
And when God gets through with me working there, he'll send me somewhere else. And wherever God's got you, that's what he wants you to do. I mean, it's just like them boys that was doing my roof. I said, God is the one that put us all together and put y'all here with me today, because I told them about the Lord a little bit. Now, I didn't shove a lot on them. I just shoved enough on them to get their whistle wet a little bit. Put a little salt on them. But I talked to them about the Lord a little bit. Now, it's up to them to do something with it, or somebody else to come by and water it and see and watch it grow. It says in verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord." There's nothing in this world going to separate us from us. You know, my dad, I love him, I miss him and all that, but I know exactly where he's at. I miss him because I don't get to talk to him, but I know exactly where he's at. He wanted to go fishing. He wants to set up there by the Crystal River and talk to John and all the prophets. And when I get there, that's what he's going to be doing. And I'm going to be able to see him again. But, you know, nothing in this life, I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever tried to commit suicide in here before, but I have. You will get so low in life. You will let things get to you so far that you will do something stupid. The devil's in your mind all the time trying to get you to do something stupid like that. And the thing about this, what God used on me, God says, if you do this, James, who's going to take care of your kids? And I threw the gun down. And from then on, I started following God. And then you say, James, you said you got saved when you was a young man. I did. I was 19 years old when I got saved. But things in life, your family and things can happen. Jobs. Get yourself in a financial situation where you're so far over your head you can't see up. And you can do that really, really quick. You can be looking at prison. I was looking at life in prison. So I know what God can do. You say, boy, James, you don't look like a bad person. Yeah. That's just what you don't know what God has changed in here. God, I don't look no better than I did back then. But what God done in here is where all the change came. So what I want us to see today, and I want y'all to come and get a verse of a song. And I tell you, the song I would like to really sing is Jesus. I don't know what the name of it is. I think that's it. And I want you to think about, do you have Jesus in your heart? Or do you got a problem going on in your life? And the only answer is Jesus.